Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests, including me
and you,
Johnny DiLoretto.
Right.
Congratulations on your 1,000th episode of It's Movie Time.
Yes, how about that?
That has to be, I don't know, it might be, you should probably look into this. You might have the longest running movie review show
I know.
In American history.
Well, look at the longest running TV show was Gunsmoke. Which one, I think, went 20 years.
Is that right?
You know, so, yeah. So I'm just saying, and you've been a frequent guest and a collaborator, and I've much appreciated that, and it's been fun. And I'm just thinking, you know, we must have done something right.
Obviously.
It's the same thing with cinema classics.
Or just no one's paying attention.
And that's the one that I really feel is the part.
No one is really examining what you're doing.
Or we're getting a big boost from our listener.
For sure. Or the one. So you get the same listener that we have on Cinema Classics.
It was usually a family member of mine.
Right, exactly. So Retaliation is the movie we're talking about. Retaliation starring Orlando Bloom.
Who would have thought?
Currently VOD available to rent. It's like $6.99 or something, so that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Much cheaper than a movie ticket.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not a bad scenario when you're considering like an unknown entity like this, right? A low budget indie. You got a big name here, Orlando Bloom. Guy's been like laying low.
Oh boy, he's been pretty boying it for a long time.
Yeah.
Except a couple weeks ago, a film that we got our attention, The Outpost.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah. The Outpost.
He played the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Very surprised, although his accent.
Yeah. Ooh. Dicey. Dicey. Okay, so here he is. It's interesting. So, because he still looks, he's great looking guy, right? And he's buff. He's ready for action and retaliation. What we're in it. This is sounds like my kind of revenge movie.
Charles Bronson.
Yeah. Charles Bronson, it is not.
It is not.
So this guy, it's a movie about trauma.
Yeah.
He's been traumatized by sexual abuse in the church that he grew up in, a priest. And he is sitting on boiling rage. So much so that in order to punish himself, he hurts himself, right? Which is a thing that happens among traumatized people, people suffering from PTSD. At one point, he sodomizes himself with what just looks like a hand stick or something. Rough stuff. So we think we're going to get, right, this classic revenge movie because the priest returns to the town.
I know. And you don't get a bunch of bodies, but you do get an outrageous ending.
Mm-hmm.
That would satisfy those looking for the extremity of punishment.
Well, it doesn't satisfy me.
I didn't think
this
so.
Does not satisfy me. I know that it is chic right now to sort of, you know, take the revenge movie and upend your expectations.
Right.
You know, Lynn Ramsey, another British filmmaker, did this recently with I think she's British. Mm-hmm. My apologies to Ms. Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
I have her provenance wrong. Directed a movie called You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix that got a lot of attention a few years ago, where he plays a guy, it's sort of like almost a Taxi Driver-esque situation. He plays a guy who gets revenge on people who are trafficking young girls, and he does it with a hammer, right? I heard that premise. I thought, God, sign me up for repeat viewings of this.
Well, look at,
but you never get it. You never get the violence that the evil characters have coming to them.
But we expect it from the genre, but you don't. I was not disappointed because in the activities of the Catholic Church and prelates in the Catholic Church, there's nothing violent that comes from that. The violence is the people responding to the Catholic Church's looking the other way at its abusers. There's never anything violent. There are reactions, which I was hoping for, getting inside the mind of somebody who's been abused.
Well, I mean, I think you're in there. Yeah. I mean, I think this movie does a great, a better job of showing you, you know, adult trauma, living with adult trauma. This guy, he's in a relationship. She's a beautiful woman. She's very sweet and understanding, but he keeps sabotaging it. You know, and there's some ambiguity there as to whether or not she's being faithful to him. I think that's...
Well, she's a barmaid, and she's flirty. Janet Montgomery is the actress, does a very fine job.
Yeah.
And I'm just disappointed I didn't get more of her.
Yeah, but, you know, that part of it made sense to me because this guy is, you know, he's sexually confused. You know, he can't look her in the face. He is, you know, he can't be honest about any of his feelings. He can't, you know, and I'm glad I stumbled upon that one because as I was watching it, this trope in movies really begins that this is what really kind of soured me on the movie.
Okay.
At this day and age, I know a lot of people, myself included, have had problems talking about things that were traumatic in my past. So I understand a character who's reluctant to that. But when the plot and narrative drive of a movie hinges upon whether or not a character can say something, that's frustrating.
Okay.
And there are many times in this movie where a conflict could be resolved by him just saying, hey, but I'm feeling
this,
right?
Yes.
Right? But he keeps saying, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. And that is just, that's lame writing to me.
Well, and to me, that was another disappointment. I wanted more of him. He was so quiet, and his rage was volcanic because he didn't talk to anybody about it, didn't share, much less share with us.
Right.
It has to be all visual with us, plus what baggage we bring in from what we've heard about priestly abuse.
Yeah.
So I agree that there are deficiencies in it. Now, for me in this film, one of the things that intrigues me is their build up to that is the advertising for this movie builds up to our expecting the kind of action that you're talking about.
Right.
In other words, and the biggest image of this and the only one I tried to get images for my review, and the most I could get was him carrying a cross. And I gotta say, this movie really goes over the top, not with violence.
And I love that part. I didn't mind. I thought that the imagery was. I mean, you know, going in right in right. So the movie opens with him doing his current. He works as a destruction worker, a demolition guy.
Yes, right.
So
true deconstruction.
Right. But for some, there's like a job specifically for tearing down churches.
They're taking down old churches.
So the opening scene is him sledgehammering a statue of Christ.
Yes.
And sledgehammering it loose from the wall and then actually literally unscrewing the nails out of Christ's cross. So he is definitely on a mission to destroy the church. And I love that. And I wish that some, you know, if you're going to have the guts to open your movie with imagery so sledgehammery, then come on, let's cut loose here. I think the mistake is a filmmaker thinks that if they give in to the baser genre elements of the revenge film, that they're somehow going to undermine the truth of a person's trauma. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that's the real challenge of a film like this.
And I know the expectations that you bring as well, because one of your favorite movies is Unforgiven.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is a true revenge film.
See, I don't see it as a revenge movie. God. The reason being, because the central premise of that movie is that he's taking a job. It's not the prostitutes who were hurt or assaulted in that movie have no connection to the Clint Eastwood character. He's just taking a job. But I will offer up Taxi Driver, another one of my favorite films. Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the real revenge movie has its roots in the early 70s with movies like Death Wish and Taxi Driver. But if you look at... And Death Wish is a straight-up pornographic kind of revenge movie.
I think better than those in a more sophisticated way is Carrie.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That is a revenge movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Masquerading as a horror film.
Right. So, Well, let's think about some others, because I thought you'd hop on that Unforgiven. I should have known you'd have your other take on that.
Well, I get what you're saying. It does. I mean, once, you know what? I will say you are right at the final climax of the movie.
Once you see his buddy in the coffin.
Yes. When he hears that Gene Hackman has killed Ned, played by Morgan Freeman.
Right.
Clint Eastwood goes on his.
Yeah, I know, right?
And that is great. I do love that. And it is satisfying. Yeah. But it's also smart. You can have smart and satisfying at the same time.
Would you say along those lines, Cape Fear would qualify?
That is an interesting twist, because the revenge is coming from the villain, right? Because Nick Nolte screwed this character over, Max Cady, by burying a report that would have exonerated him in court.
Right.
So Max Cady, De Niro's
Very
character,
yep.
or Mitchum's character, if you're looking back at the original.
Yeah, Mitchum. Yeah. Good.
He he serves this prison sentence and comes out and is hell-bent on revenge against the lawyer who screwed him over. So
nice.
Yeah, that is a great twist.
Another favorite of mine, where you have the good guy going after the bad guys.
Yes.
Straw Dogs.
Yeah, that is an interesting one, too. Again.
You don't think that's revenge?
It is. Well, it is revenge.
I mean, it's
for
also
sure. I'm not saying,
self-preservation.
I'm saying revenge is a sort of cloudy area, right?
Right.
Dustin Hoffman as a math professor.
Yes.
Who moves to England with his wife or something,
yes.
right? And then there's this weird dudes hanging around.
Yeah, it's a home invasion.
Yeah, home invasion. Yeah. But they're constantly badgering and bullying him through the course
but
of the film.
But I think they take over.
They do. Well, at one point, they rape his wife.
Yes.
Which is a controversial scene if you haven't seen it in a long time. Peckinpah directs this scene as though the wife may or may not be enjoying
it. I got it. Yeah,
right?
Very good.
But then the home invasion happens at the end, and the math professor turns on them and is ready for them. And
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. How about John Wick?
Great.
Is that
great?
The Charles Bronson type?
No, it's something other than that, right? Because it operates in an almost at a comic book remove
yes,
from the real
yes,
world.
Yes, thank you.
But yes, the central premise of John Wick is this sad, lonely guy loses his wife. She sends him posthumously in the mail a puppy because she doesn't want him to be alone. Then Russian gangsters kill the puppy, and in turn, Keanu Reeves as John Wick kills literally 190 guys. And now see, I love that.
Yeah.
Because the twist there is the number of guys
yes.
that he gets revenge on.
It is outrageous.
Yeah.
How would you characterize as revenge, Revenant? And I'm thinking it's a kind of low-level revenge. Not low-level.
It's
certainly
more,
not a body count.
Yeah. In that movie, it's more about revenge being the moral drive for surviving.
Yes.
Right? This guy's he's mauled by a bear, left for dead, and based on a true story, by the way. And then finds it, in the recesses of his broken heart, because they kill his kid, too.
Yes.
To survive, and then find those that
yeah.
left him for dead and killed his, ostensible child.
In a lighter vein, if it can be, I'd ask you about Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, that movie when that movie came out, I thought, oh, this is Tarantino, Brad Pitt, Nazi killing. Sign me up, right? Turns out to be something much different than that. It's also a rumination on the movies of the period, on filmmaking, on German film, and their mountain climbing films. There's like all kinds of stuff, nuance happening in that movie that is unexpected and elevates it, to great art.
And twisting history.
Oh yeah, he invented sort of the
he did
reimagining
yes
just
yes.
taking a blatant occurrence in history and altering it
yes,
to make us
yes,
feel better
yeah and playing on our desire for revenge
mm-hmm.
and the death of Hitler just didn't assuage us at all
right
and our anger
yeah.
at what he had brought about
right and the beauty of it comes in us knowing the truth right
yes
if you're watching that movie thinking like I just want to be clear that Tarantino is not offering us a false narrative, you know, or offering us fake news.
Yeah.
I think it's what you said, right? Yeah. The power of it, the joy in it, comes from us knowing the real history, right? And his rewriting it.
And one of the more stylized revenge movies, for me anyway, Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And right. We have a female.
Mm-hmm. And decked out in Bruce Lee getup.
Oh, God, great, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think this is a really complicated movie, trying to talk about it as revenge. I really like it as a subject. It doesn't satisfy me in any way, which means it's a movie that I like.
Yeah.
You know, because it is unsatisfactory.
Right. And I understand a movie sort of complicating a genre or complicating your expectations of that genre. So the movie, you know, culminates in this scene where, I won't spoil anything, but he goes to confession. And the priest, the guilty priest, is on the other side of that.
God,
right? Yeah. It's a great scene. But there's this moment that, to me, was arrived at rather too easily, right? In the attempt to kind of, again, change the direction of where we think this is going, the writers, the filmmakers offer him an out. He says, I forgive you.
Yes.
I forgive him.
But,
right?
I mean, they feature Paul to the Romans, which is Paul's advice to his people to essentially turn the other cheek. That is, if you want to really torture your abuser, in this term, then be sweet.
Okay.
Because you'll kill him.
Yeah, you know what? And I get that. Had that come a little bit earlier?
Good point.
Midway?
Yeah. All right.
Right?
Yeah, good one.
Had he exercised some of that rage against, you know, he at one point he's got the drop on the priest, right? And then things don't go according to plan. So now he's got to swallow that rage and carry it around some more, because now it's frustrated because he had a moment to act and didn't.
Yeah.
The relationship with the mother is interesting because we don't know. We gather that she either denies the truth of his accusations or was somehow complicit in his abuse by either turning the other cheek or turning the other, you know, turning away from it. So we don't know. And he loves his mom, and he's got this, like, again, he just doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything to her. That begins to wear on me. This you know, reticence on the character, because it starts to seem like a plot device.
Well, yeah, and I think that it reflects for me the tacit circumstances of priestly abuse in the Catholic Church. Nobody talks about, or didn't talk about it until recently. It was so insidious. It was so quiet, and we so revered the priest. And now and then the priest looked like Richard Gere.
Yeah.
This guy, right. This guy, what a great looking actor. He's
you want to smash his head with a, you want to smash him.
I know you do.
Right?
Yeah.
And we never get that.
Well, all right. I'm tired of retaliation. Ooh,
it's emotionally exhausting.
I know it is. But good for a podcast.
So now on the podcast, do you grade the films like you do on It's Movie Time? No grading.
No.
So you're left. The listener is left.
I shouldn't say that. I've done only four and probably did. So why don't we give it a grade?
Yeah. I would love to be on the ground floor of a new tradition.
Because this is so close to my experience.
Yeah.
And because it's so complicated, which is something I like, I'm awarding it a B.
Okay. I got it. For me, a guy who's sitting on this much rage and who acts out in the violent ways that he does towards other people and himself, I think would totally smash this priest's head in with a sledgehammer, and that never happened, so I'm giving it a C.
All right. And I'm going on Sundays now to St. John's United Church of Christ.
Sounds like
one of the reasons.
Sounds like a good idea.